We Like Dota is brought to you by the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like Ye Old Raven, Icebug, Neil Madsen, Bob Keith, Dota Prop, Jeff Peterson, Nathan Johnson, Justin, Bunny Data, and new patron, Paul Bender, aka Paula Bear. Thanks for supporting the show, everyone. We Like Dota, episode 215, starts now. Hello and welcome to We Like Dota, the internet's casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm Sam, the plaid pirate. Joined with me, it's a crowded booth, it's Arian. Hello.
Hello, Sam. Hello, internet.
Hello. And we also have Jim. Hello, Jim J. Billick.
Hello, Sam. Hello, Arian.
And finally, we have Charlene. Hello, Charlene.
Hello, Sam. Hello, Jim. Hello, Arian. Hello, internet.
Hey, internet.
Very good. I am very excited because we just played a game together. Not Jim, but the other hosts.
Jim was there in spirit.
Jim was busy with family activities. But we played a game, and it was a lot of fun. But before we played that game, I had to play a terrible turbo game that took like 50 minutes, and I'm gonna hand it off to Arian.
We had to play a turbo game.
Yeah, we played together and it was awful, and I don't want to talk about
it. So I see Sam's online, so I join. We get in a stack together, and then I see Charlene comes online, and she says she needs 20 minutes. So we're like, okay, let's play a turbo. And after that, we queue up with Charlene for a real match, basically. So we get into a turbo, I play Storm, like always. Then like 10 and 1 at like 15 minutes, and we were like, I think, okay, guys, let's push high ground. Then I realized we have no tower pushes. And we have a Mirana who kind of hits towers, but like not really if she's not farmed, and she had no farm. And then we have an MK Sand King Grimstone, so we have literally no push. And they have a TB who was actually massive because we had to leave him alone for like the whole game. And yeah, that I don't want to go into details, but it was one of those games. It just went back and forth, and after 50 minutes in turbo, mind you, Mirana had 3 divines, I had 1 divine, and we actually won, surprisingly.
Nobody won.
Nobody won that game, that's true.
There was a lot of flame coming out from the other team, I didn't like that.
Yeah, the sniper was really mad at me for counterpicking him.
Well, you know what?
That's what happened when you big sniper, man.
I mean, you were pretty countered that game, too. There was a Void, there was a Shadow Shaman.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the game was extra stressful because I had to bait Chrono 4 times during crucial team fights and not get caught by it, which is really difficult to do, but I managed to pull it off because the Void was pretty terrible, to be honest.
I barely know how to play Monkey King, and it was really hard. I kept getting like pecked down by a sniper, and he was too far away for me to do anything about it. And Terrorblade does way too much damage, so hopefully,
yeah,
that's the last time that Terrorblade can 1v5.
Yep.
Yeah.
Patch tomorrow.
Patch incoming.
Are we doing a patch analysis, Jim?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna have time this week.
All right, maybe I'll get someone else to do a patch analysis with.
Well, we'll see. But we had a much more enjoyable game after that.
Yep.
We got a full game in, and I played Phantom Lancer, and it was the easiest Phantom Lancer game of my life.
You actually played out of your mind. I don't know. Yeah.
This was a single draft game. Don't forget to mention that.
That's right.
Yeah, he like killed a full health Weaver on 200 HP, just manning up all the time.
It was easy. You just W when he's gonna Tsukuchi or when he tries to double attack you, and then he gets confused as to which one is the real you, and he's a tiny squishy bug, and you squish the bug.
There you go.
That's how you make the moonshine. No, it was great. I had a really easy time in lane and was able to outplay them a few times and get a bunch of kills, and then the rest of the game just came very easy. The one annoying thing about that game, though, there was a disruptor in it, and so every now and again he would make illusions of me, and that's really annoying. Because I had, like,
He had a shadow demon.
Shadow demon, I'm sorry.
Who would use disruption.
Yes. Those words are the words I wanted. But yeah, because I had, what's that mana break item?
Diffusal.
Yeah. That thing is annoying when you're going against illusions of yourself. It's just annoying. Mm. But they had
also your illusions can make illusions themselves.
Right. It's very, very annoying. Pass up. Very annoying. But what did you guys think of the game?
Like, normally when I play co-op, I wreck my lane and then I still lose the game. It actually rhymes. Wreck my lane, lose the game.
Yes.
I didn't lose. I was just kind of surprised. Like, we were pushing the high ground and I was like, okay, this is normally the moment where, like, they team wipe us and we lose in the end, even though the early game went great. And kind of didn't happen. So, yeah. Great.
They're amazing.
Charlene had a lot of fun.
Oh my god. So,
like, Charlene's usually a pretty quiet player, but she was literally screaming from joy.
It was a single draft game. I either could play Tiny or Zeus or Pangolier. And I was like, you know what? Why not learn this bad boy? And oh my god, is he fun. His, like, ridiculous French accent. And then at one point, I was doing his Rolling Thunder, and his voice line was beep beep, and I just lost it. And was it you, Arian, who let me know that the Dota Plus, like, 25 all chat line is that? I wasn't able to confirm. But that's such a beep beep is hilarious. I had a lot of fun on him, though. I didn't play Pango like a normal offlaner because we had a Mirana who was farming the lane, so I went for a Medallion into Solar Crest into Blink. I didn't get any Javelin-type items, but I understand why people like him. He's a lot of fun, and he's pretty strong.
Yep.
It was actually incredible. You were just... Like, it would just be silent, and then you'd just hear, like, this giggle, and, like, like, you were just so pleased.
It was making Dota great again.
Oh my god.
In an actual good way.
In the right way.
Yeah.
It was very joyful Dota, which was really quite great.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do have to say, their other team had a Night Stalker, and I was like, Night Stalker, what a joke. Like, what a dumb hero. He's not good anymore. And that guy, he made it work.
Yeah, he gave us a lot of fun. I don't know, like, I killed him 3 times in lane, but he still, like, got back by going to the other lanes and killing you guys. I think you just couldn't deal with his tankiness.
He was very tanky.
Like, he didn't do a lot of damage, but he can trade so well.
He also, like, somehow just kind of rushed a Abyssal and nothing else. It was really weird. I don't know. It was pretty impressive, I have to say.
How was the rest of your week in Dota, Sam?
Me? I played a bunch of games. Or not a bunch. The one that stuck out to me was actually a random turbo game that I played last night as Necro.
Wow.
And nice. It was not nice. Necro doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I watched, like, him get picked a lot on the pro scene, and it's just like, oh yeah, he's tanky, he doesn't take any physical damage, and then you drop your ult and you're just, like, really annoying. And I was like, okay, in theory that makes sense. And then when you try and actually do it, you realize that he's slow as molasses, and, like,
yeah.
He has no Kedge.
Who are you versing?
It doesn't matter.
he is really good against physical damage, but if they have magic damage, then Necro is really, really weak.
I just felt like I was out of position the entire game, which is annoying. But, so, I don't think I'm gonna play that guy anymore.
You should pay me.
I think the hero's over nerfed in my opinion. Like, he was super meta a while ago, but then he got a bunch of nerfs because, like, he wasn't that strong. People just refused to counter properly, which is with magic damage. So now he's just over nerfed. I think he's not in a good place anymore. But patch tomorrow, I'm sure it's gonna be irrelevant now that this when this podcast is actually out.
It would be on brand for us.
Yeah.
How about you guys? How was the rest of Dota?
You have to direct it to a person.
Okay, Aaron, how people. Did you do?
Charlene, you are next on the list.
Oh, I'm next on the list. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I talked about my Pango fun. Update, because last time I was on the pod, I mentioned that I'll be streaming, and I actually have gotten a few extra followers, and I'm really thankful for that. But I feel bad because today will be my last little bit for streaming because I ended up booking a ticket to go see my sister and my mom for Thanksgiving. I'll be leaving tomorrow and I'll be staying until the end of November because my job doesn't start until early December. So I'll be gone for 10 whole days. I'll just bring my laptop, but can't really stream off of that. And also I'll be spending lots of time with family and my new adorable 5-month-old niece, Emmy.
Oh, yeah. How nice.
Really excited. But streaming itself has been eye-opening. Like, I started it just as I'll do it because it'll give me a time restriction and, you know, give structure to my day and stuff. But even though I would only have 2 viewers, I would actually feel very, like I had to be on point and, like, have a presence. And it's ridiculous because I didn't even, I would say, 80% of my camera time was actually just on my cats. It wasn't even on me. But I still felt like I needed to have a presence or something and like be aware of, you know, if there is a chat, you know, have my iPad open and like look over at it and interact with people. So I have a lot of newfound respect for full-time streamers because it takes a lot. You have to be very affable and able to multitask and all that. So good on them. I may or may not continue to do it. We'll see. And other little bit, I guess. So the last, I'm going on to almost month 4 now of Dota without my better half, Two Flakes, my bae. And I recently looked over at my open Dota to find this next game that I'm going to talk about. And I noticed that my win rate, it used to be, I think, like 52.3%, something like that. Uh-oh. But within the last 4 months, I've lost enough games to actually drop it down to 51.7%.
Oh, my God.
And like just looking at it, average over the last 20 matches, I have a 35% win rate, which is pretty accurate. I find it.
I can't believe that. You're so good on your own. Like, not even.
Have a 56% win rate with Two Flakes. Like, he and I synergize better. Like, we just play better together. Or I play better with him. And Dota without him has been very sad, and I miss him.
Aww.
But how do you have a 35% win rate?
How do I have a what?
How do you have a 35% win rate? That's insane.
In the last 20 games that I've played.
Okay, that's not like a huge sample size. But like in the whole month, like in the whole time since you stopped playing for him, I don't know. Around 50.
I would have to look. That's too hard for me. It's not immediately made available.
Hey, we have a 52% win rate. 53% win rate, actually. Nice.
You and I?
Yeah.
Nice.
Still not as good as my 58% win rate with Sam.
It used to be higher.
No, it didn't.
What?
And that doesn't account for we like Dota League games because those are lobbies. So
right.
we've been doing well in that, Arian.
Yeah, that's true. I think yeah.
So it's even higher.
But that's theme Thursdays. I usually.
Yeah.
I have a 34% win rate with Greg Sure.
Hey! Oh my God.
And that doesn't count the 11 consecutive losses from WLBL.
Oh,
That's
friendship right there.
Yeah, that's an instance where you're worse than the sum of your parts. Yeah. That doesn't usually happen.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Sure, you're
one,
fine.
One final Dota feeling. Earlier this week, as part of one of my losses, the stack that I was in a four stack. There were two Divine players in the stack, and then me and then another Legend player. And then, we were four stack. And we queued into this match, and one of my Divine friends instantly goes, "Oh, that's the real Ryoya." And I was just like, "Ryoya, I know that name." He's like, "Yeah, he's previously 747. I was like, "Oh, wow, 747, amazing." He's like, "Wait a minute, I know other people too." And then we started looking at all the people that was in on this Dire side, and we realized that we're up against four Immortal players. Ryoya is rank 8 in the world. Zizzy is rank 51. Darkwend 8 is like rank, I think, 300 or 500, somewhere in there. And then the other player they had on the Ogre was an Asian name, so I don't know the player, but they were Immortal 600 or something like that. And their lowest tier was a Divine 2.
So did you win?
So we're like, no, absolutely not. But we tried really, really hard. Ryoya went mid as Shadow Shaman. And... Oh, wow. Like, we actually were clawing our way into the game, and then Ryoya was just like, no. He boots of traveled into our base, Ags refreshered, took everything, and then the game was over. But we were trying really, really hard, and we held on. At the end of the game, we actually had 3 more kills than they did.
That's right.
Wow.
But it wasn't a complete stomp, and I'm pretty proud of us.
Yeah,
nice.
And it was exciting just to get matched up against such high-level players. Just like seeing how bad I actually am at the game is eye-opening. I'm glad it's not an everyday thing, but it was fun.
That sounds fun.
All right.
Jim, or Arian, how about you?
Yeah, I had 3 exams this week, so I barely got to play Dota during the week. But on Saturday, I got to play Battle Cup with Charlene and almost my entire WLAC Dota team, because we have nothing else to do, because we got a bye for like the last 3 weeks for WLAC Dota League, I think. So, first game I played Mirana. I think I did pretty well. What did you play, Charlene?
Silencer.
You played Silencer.
I played Silencer both.
That game was really fun. I had like 15 kills, we just stomped them. Which is ancient Battle Cup, by the way, so tier 6. Yeah, in the second game, my team pressured me into picking Viper, which I didn't advocate for, but I just got wrecked by an Ember because the matchup isn't that great, and also the player was like infinitely better than me in every aspect of the game. So yeah, we got wrecked. We also kind of lost all our side lanes, and in the end we just lost from the lanes. I think we could have like, I felt we teamfighted a bit better than them, but in the grand scheme of things, that didn't matter anymore because they had so much more farm with an Alchemist and a Fed Ember.
Yeah.
In team's defense, we thought that the Alk was like probably going to be mid, and then they snuck in another mid pick and then moved their Alk to the safe lane. So, game is hard.
Game
is hard. And yeah, I already talked about the 53-minute turbo game, so we don't have to do that anymore. It was painful. And I'm just looking forward to playing in WLAC Dota League again, because we haven't played in 2 or 3 weeks, Charlene? Was it 2 or 3?
Something like that. I think 2 weeks.
I think 2 weeks, yeah. So our next matchup is against Reggae Sharks, which I'm very much looking forward to, because they're a very good team.
They should be good. That'll be exciting.
Nice. Jim, how about you?
My weekend dinner was pretty good. I had a couple games. I had a bit of a business trip, so I just watched Theme Thursday from afar. But I got to play Doom a couple times. I'm really enjoying Doom. Him. So I use role queue, like ranked roles.
Oh, nice.
Because I just pick support or offlane because it says lower queue times. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. And I really hate, like, that period at the beginning of a pub where everyone's like trying to figure out what they want to do.
I hate it too. It's so stressful.
Yeah, I hate the uncertainty of it. So, and like, since I'm a person who like fill in where I'm needed anyway, I just queue off lane or support depending on what I want to play. So I got to play Doom. In one game, my teammate mouses over Grimstroke, and I'm like, yes, pick Grimstroke. I'll pick Doom. So he does, and man, that really is as amazing as everyone sounds, says. Like, everything synergizes. Like, you have move speed. You buy phase boots, and you have increased move speed from your aura thing. And then Grimstroke casts the ink swell on you, and you just walk up to people, and they can't get away from you.
That's dirty.
And there's the whole thing of, in every late-game team fight, two of their heroes don't count.
Yeah.
So every late game team fight is 5 versus 3. Because I just wait, and then once I see the Grimstroke ult, just cast Doom, and that's it. And it gets around Lincoln's Sphere if you Doom the other guy.
Oh my God.
It's unreal. Like, it's the best.
I was just about to say how broken that is.
Yeah, I think I posted in Discord that I think it's going to get. Like, Doom will be added to the things you cannot double with Grimstroke's ult.
Wait,
I feel like all the things that are in that on that list are like because like there's no way to actually combo it to go into hero like Omni Slash or something.
Right. Oh no, the what is it? That one from
I guess yeah, Soul Assumption.
I figure that's like a weird coding thing, but like it crashes the server. But
like I don't know if like Valve or Ice Frog more likely usually does stuff like that to just like take synergies out just because they're too strong. Like, I feel like if he thinks it's too strong, he's gonna find a way around it somehow.
I hope he doesn't nerf Doom.
Doom never gets picked, so I doubt he will be.
But, it was super
maybe
cool.
Maybe Grimstroke was the Doom buff you've been waiting for.
Oh, tell me about it. If Grimstroke were in Captain's mode, they'd be banned instantly. Anyway. But that was super fun. I got a bunch of MMR from just riding Doom into the sunset. I played Battle Cup last night. Seems like almost all of us played Battle Cup. Yeah. I got
everybody
together.
Except Sam.
Yeah, it was X2 was putting a team together. And so Titus Andromedon is like, hey, guys, you want to play? I'm like, yeah, that's cool. So me and Greg log on. And then, like, we just see Titus, X2, and 3 other people, like, starting Battle Cup. We're like, okay, see you guys around. But we got in with Ray and Tulak Ard, and we got a random, like, nice. You could like pull randoms down. He was this guy, he claimed he was Canadian. He was really nice, so he probably was. And we put him on CK.
The random?
Yeah, the random. We're like, hey, dude. Because, like, Tulak plays support. Ray said he wanted to play support. Greg just wanted to play Earthshaker.
Did you give him the Discord?
We gave him the Discord we were in. I think it was... obviously, we should have done Black Dota. We would have got another person. But
yeah.
Missed
opportunity.
Yeah. He was really nice, and he played pretty well. We got Tinkered. I was Pugna against Tinker. I realized I should have probably picked Zeus. I think it would have worked better. Pugna wasn't bad, but the Tinker went
Zeus
like...
Zeus is also good against Tinker.
Yeah, I mean, Zeus, just every 40 seconds, you just get to kill Tinker.
Yep.
But, like, the Tinker went 4-4-0, and they had a Spirit Breaker, and so I couldn't stand up to the nuke, like the nuke combo, and then Spirit Breaker would charge me under the tower. So that happened a couple times. And then we took all their tier 3s, and we took, like, a lane and a half, and it got to like that point where one late game team fight will decide the outcome. And we won a late game team fight, and we thought they didn't have any buybacks. And we all BOT'd up to the final lane. And then they all bought back.
Oh.
It's bad.
I mean, it must have been like seconds. It must have been like 20 or 30 seconds after their buybacks came back online. And they killed a couple of us, and then that was the end of the game.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, the Tinker, you know, fell off later, as Tinkers do. But it just didn't work out. Well, whatever. And then we stacked with Baelucht. We had him replace our random. I probably lost us the game because I was too hesitant on my BKB. I was playing Terror Blade, so that was fun. And then, yeah, like that. That's what I have to work on next. Is like the mistake you should make with BKB is probably
not buying BKB is the mistake.
Well, that's the biggest mistake. I mean, but I'm saying, like, if you're going to use it wrong,
I mean, like, buying BKB is the mistake. You know how I feel about BKB.
Oh yeah. But, like, you know how, like, day 9 in StarCraft, if any of you all followed, like, he said you have to lose the right way, which is building up too much of an economy and then getting rolled over by an army. Because, like, okay, you establish that you could build up the economy, and so then you scale that back. So I think the proper way to lose is to use BKB too often rather than not use it enough. So I have to start using it more. Then I had another game. This was a good one. I ended up in solo queuing. And I queued support this time with roll queue. You know, the other team, I was picking like relatively early. The other support on my team insta-picked techies.
Oh my god.
But he was like gold 14 techies.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, well, maybe this guy's like, you know, PPD's brother. So I picked Wyvern, and it didn't work out that well. Everyone on our team started flaming each other. The techies, he didn't push ever. Like, once you hit level 5, you can like one shot a creep wave with techies.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could just like hang out in the jungle and like drop mines and push everything, and they blow up buildings. He never pushed. He just like stole farm from the cores because the creep waves never got to our cores.
If he got to level,
oh, no.
And in a 53-minute game, he cast blast off 6 times.
Oh my god! If he got to level gold, like to gold or the plus thingy, playing like that, he must have ruined a lot of people's games.
Yeah, it was bad. Already. And we also had his lane mate was a Necrophos, who like never spoke, never communicated with anything. And cast Reaper's Scythe 5 times in a 53-minute game.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, and they, because techies never pressured the lane, they gave an anti-mage a free farm. But as my teammates were flaming each other viciously, they did agree that I was the person who deserved a command.
Ooh, that's
wow,
nice.
Wow, look at you.
Wyvern's the only one who deserves a command. And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying, boys. I said, everyone deserves commands in all caps, and they start flaming each other even worse. They're like, he doesn't.
Oh my god.
I'm like, all right, well, that didn't work.
You just like threw gasoline on the flame.
Yeah. So I took my minus 25 home, although I did have fun casting, what do you call it? The ultimate on some people.
Winter's Curse.
Winter's Curse. Yeah, that's really fun when Anti-Mage happens to be standing right next to their Zeus.
Okay, right. Well, it looks like we all had a very eventful week of Dota.
Yeah, except me.
Except for you. So, Aaron, there's some news about potential crossover. Please tell
us. Actually, it's not potential. It's pretty much set in stone at this point. We got approached by EPTV, who's a manager at Desolades. If you guys don't know Desolades, they're basically an organization of women playing Dota 2. And they like advocate for women in Dota 2. And that's pretty much what they do. And we're gonna do a collab with them. So you guys know Theme Thursdays, of course. We talk about it a lot on the podcast. And from now on, at the first Sunday of each month at 2 p.m. No. Where are the times? Here, 3 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. CET, that's European Standard Time, and 8 p.m. GMT, GMT, that's UK time, we are gonna play in-house, like Theme Thursdays, with the people over at Desolades. And of course, everybody's welcome to join. And we will integrate their spreadsheet, because they also have a theme spreadsheet, into dotatheme.com. And yeah, it's gonna be a thing from now on, on the first Sunday of each month.
What time in the day?
2 p.m. Eastern. 3 p.m. Eastern, I'm sorry. 3 p.m. Eastern. Fantastic. And also,
when's the first one?
The first one is on Sunday the 2nd.
Very good.
And also, we're going to play a show match against the Desolatis leadership on Saturday the 1st, like kind of to inaugurate the Soul Corporation. It's going to be not a theme match, it's going to be a try-hard Captain's Mode match on Saturday the 1st. We're not sure if it's going to be like best of one or best of two or best of three. But
best of seven.
That's pretty much it. Oh my
best
god.
Best of eight, so it can be a draw after 8 hours.
Oh.
Sure. Yep, that's pretty much it. It should be fun. You're going to see some announcement soon. You're going to get an official announcement from them, and you're going to hear about it a bunch more on the podcast because it's still 2 weeks away.
Very good.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
Me too.
The other small tournament that's happening, the Major. It ended.
Yep.
Yeah, the Koala Lamp.
Did you watch?
I unfortunately didn't watch the finals, but I watched the lower bracket EG versus NIP game.
Nice.
I watched game one all the way through. I was feeling good because NIP won game one. And then game two, I think game two started at around like 1 a.m. or 1:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I was laying in bed. I had my iPad there, volume at like just the lowest setting, kind of watching, and I would, you know, kind of doze off. And every now and then I would hear Toby and Fogg like shouting at a team fight and wake me up. And I felt like every time I started watching again, NIP were behind, and as I watched, they grew stronger. I was like, oh, I have to stay awake. I have to give them my energy. But I just couldn't do it. It was too early, or too late, I guess, rather. And I fell asleep. I woke up, I go to the Reddit, and I see that my boys lose the next two games.
Oh, man.
And it's all because I fell asleep. I was very sad.
Yeah, the second game where NIP could have closed it out, like, they actually had it, but there was, like, one play that made them lose it and all went downhill from there. Like,
if
they
only
had
I
it
stayed
in the
awake
bag.
For that one fight.
Yeah, it's your fault, Charlie.
It's all my fault.
Yeah, they briefly cut to the booth, and I think PPD was, like, angrily, he had your Twitter up.
Oh.
He all tabbed out to your Twitter, and he was just, like, with his hands up looking at the screen. Why did you do that to us?
Jokes on him. I don't have a Twitter. Yeah, I felt really bad. Didn't watch the finals, but congratulations, VP, apparently.
Hey. Yeah.
VP wins another major. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
They usually never win majors.
Nah.
Oh, I was about to ask Jim, do you think this is the start of Secret falling off like they do every season?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's about time, right?
Yeah, it's usually like the end of the calendar year. They come out really strong, and then, they just kind of fall apart. So this is about the right time.
Yeah.
Because Puppy had the... So I watched some of the grand finals.
Mm-hmm.
And by some of, I mean like game one, I fell asleep on my couch watching because it was very late.
Yeah, the time was like very weird for me too. I went to sleep when the game started. And, like, I went to sleep really late, and then when I woke up, it was all over.
Yeah, yeah. And that's basically what happens to us, too, on the East Coast. But game one was awesome. Like, VP picked all these weird heroes. Ramses was playing position one Brewmaster. I think no one was on Storm. They had offlane Phoenix. Pasha was playing Phoenix. And then they had position five Centaur.
Ooh.
And, like, Ramses was just constantly doing the taunt with Brewmaster.
Oh my god.
Like in the middle of team fights, you see the Brewmaster like jump up on top of his bottle of wine and stuff. You know? it was wild. But they won that game. And then all the stuff happened. But yeah, to your question about whether Secret's gonna fall off, there was like the Puppy moment. Apparently in game five. It's 2-2 at the time. And game four, VP just won with Terrorblade. Terrorblade has been a frequently picked hero.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good right now.
Yeah, he's doing all right. And they have the final mid ban, like the fifth ban, I guess. And he bans Juggernaut,
What?
A hero that had never been banned.
Oh.
And Juggernaut's had not only been picked right once and lost. And then, you know, the picks go back to VP. VP picks Terrorblade and they win the game. and so, this is like, you know, like Puppy's famous for like just picking the same stuff over and over again and like not altering what he wants to do. And so to me, this is like, duh, you should have done that. You made a mistake. But then, so relating that to Reddit, people started going nuts. Like, you don't know what Puppy's thinking. You're just some 2K scrub. Like, I wasn't arguing on Reddit. I mean, I don't need that in my life. But like, other people, you know, were getting flamed and then people were flaming back. Like, no, we can do this. And I remember on some of the interviews that'll be coming out, I think you asked a few pros that question. Yep. And we discussed it a bit in Discord. If you all want to participate in this, I thought an interesting question might be like, can people like us like criticize the decisions of professional players? Like if we look at Puppy and say, nah, like you should have been Terrorblade. Like, why didn't you do that? Is it something that is beyond, is the decision-making of someone with the pedigree of Puppy beyond reproach from dopes like us?
So can I say something about this?
Yeah.
I can spoil some of the interviews. So my personal opinion is most of the time people think they're better than they are and pros play a different game and you don't know shit is basically my approach. But the general like consensus when I asked pros that question was basically that when it comes to play, like you pressed your BKB too late or you like choked your ability there, you misclicked or something. Obviously, even like 2K players or something can see and say, okay, that's bad, and they're going to be right about it. But when it comes to like drafting and itemization and stuff where pros like actually have to think a long time and they like can't really fuck it up because they think about it a long time, then the general consensus was that nukes basically don't know shit and that the pros are always right about stuff like that. And in 99% of those situations, some 2K Redditor basically just doesn't really understand what he's talking about and thinks it's so obvious, even though it's like much more convoluted than it's like than he actually sees it.
Is that your position, Aaron?
No, that's the pro's position.
Okay. Do you have a position?
My position is pretty much the same, though. So, okay. I don't know. I mean, if the pros say it, I'm of course going to adopt that position.
Bandwagon.
Because it's probably going to be right.
Yeah, yeah. Charlene, you have to be consistent. What do you think?
Oh, man. I was just kind of mocking by saying bandwagon, but I think I agree. I think that there's probably stuff behind the scenes that we don't know, appreciate. Yep.
Like, it's so arrogant to assume that you know everything that goes through a pro player's head.
Yeah. I mean, that's just my philosophy in life, right? Like, I don't know anything about anybody else's life or
right.
anything that goes on, let alone Dota, which I play casually. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and disagree. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to take the other side. I think it's totally fine. I think a lot of the time, all the time amateurs don't know what's going on in the heads of pros. And it is obviously a different game. And just the way they think about the game is different. But, you know, I think it's fine to like look at that draft and be like, nah, dude, like that was a mistake. I don't think you should have done that. Because like pros do make mistakes. Like teams get outdrafted, right? I mean, you know, PPD said that Bulba got worked. Famously in the group stage match between Nip and EG, or the early bracket match. So like Bulba did something wrong. I think somebody else could see that and recognize it.
I think the difference is that if Bulba fucks up really hard in the draft, then PPD can't see it, but you can't see it. I think like that's the point most pros made at Hamburg.
That is the point most pros make, but pros are also like they don't have a position like external to the question either.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And like, think about Moneyball. Are you familiar with the book Moneyball?
Nope.
Okay, it's about baseball. I'm
familiar with the movie.
Okay.
With Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill?
Yeah, Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill. So it's about baseball, and the idea is, and it's a true story. It was a nonfiction book.
Is it the actual true story or quote-unquote true story?
No, it's a true story.
The idea was in the 90s, I guess, in Major League Baseball, the whole baseball community was wrong about what made a successful team. Like, what were good players to choose, to select?
Okay.
They overvalued, like, pedigree and height and foot speed and hitting the ball very far. And they undervalued things like getting walked.
What does that mean?
Oh,
for
so
EU audience and me?
Getting, oh, it's baseball.
It
like
means it means that they were using, they weren't looking at the correct metrics to properly value baseball players.
Right.
Okay.
They were using like a very traditional metric. And so you had all these scouts who had like played the game and like that guy looks like a baseball player.
Dota analogy, like overvaluing GPM over kills or something like that.
Okay.
There. How's that?
Yeah. Or right. Or whatever it is that
I can work with that.
Right. And so what happened is this handful of like nerds essentially ran a bunch of data and were like, yo, getting walked is way more important than people think. Like the real thing is getting on base. It doesn't matter how you get on base. It's just if you get on base. And so they went to this one team, the Oakland Athletics in the book and in real life, that didn't have the monetary resources to compete with like the big market teams. And they started doing this, and I think they won a World Series with the teams that they built out of this.
That's dope.
And of course, what ended up happening is that like every team started doing that, and so Oakland got bad again. But and once like the Yankees decided they could hire like 10 times as many nerds, they got better at it. But they were all wrong, right? And like in American football, there's similar things like. This one coach, Bill Belichick, for those of you who are familiar with American football, does things that are like unthinkably weird. He cuts players at the height of their careers and everyone's like, oh, you can't do that. He, you know, never has a star running back on his team. And and everybody who came up through and played the game says, no, you can't do that. Like Belichick never played in the pros. He doesn't understand football. And the guy's won like, he's coached teams like 6 of the last 12 championships or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody else was wrong. Like, Bill Belichick's right. And so, I think it's possible for amateurs to say, like, hey, that was wrong. They shouldn't be doing that.
All right. I think, like, I agree with that, but I think it's more limited to football because, first of all, I don't think
we
concur.
I don't really understand, Arian, what, like, do you need, is your opinion that you need to have certain credentials to make critiques on the game?
No, my opinion is you can like say when someone like fucked up play-wise, but a lot of the times draft-wise or itemization-wise, you don't play the game that pros play and you can't criticize what pros do or what pros build or what pros pick because you actually haven't played at their level and you just simply don't know 99% of what they think about.
Okay.
I mean, I don't disagree with you that a lot of people on Reddit don't know what they're talking about. which is essentially what you're saying. But that's fine. I mean, people are going to have an opinion, even if it's...
Here's a way to think about it.
Keep going AFK?
I don't know. I think that's a really good point, Arian. And I want to bring up a distinction then. I think I can't look at a pro game and say, based on my experience playing the game, that would never work. Therefore, that's why it didn't work for no one.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean the player no one, not no people. But I think as a fan, as someone who watches pro Dota, you could potentially say, like, based on what I've been watching over the course of, you know, TI, or, you know, the last couple months, this thing that they're doing never works, or very infrequently works.
That's
and so,
the thing. Can I say something about that? Because, like, the argument you're making is you're surveying the pro scene so much that you can, like, deduce stuff from that, basically, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, that's also what a lot of pros told me in Hamburg, the pro scene that we see is a tiny fraction of the actual pro scene, because 99% of meta building and seeing what heroes work, what heroes are strong, what heroes are weak, what heroes are OP, goes on at scrims, and scrims aren't right. televised. Knoxville told me a lot about this, that
yeah,
basically you only see the tip of the iceberg, and you can't really make assumptions based on the tip of the iceberg, which is the same thing when people say, okay, why don't just you ban Terrorblade? He's obviously the best hero right now. He's not the best hero right now. He's just right at the edge of being really good, but not being good enough to get banned, because there's better heroes, like Morphling, who almost got first banned in every series.
I just don't... I mean, I don't know how much longer we need to keep talking about this. I just think that you don't need to have played at the highest level to have a smart opinion about the game. And just because some Redditors don't know what they're talking about, or the majority of Redditors don't know what they're talking about and don't know what it's like to play at the top tier, doesn't mean that you have to have that exact path to have a smart way of thinking about Dota.
I guess, but like, we have to distinguish between just being smart and being smart enough that you can play at pro level. I think that was thing to do. But let's change subject.
I don't know. Sure. I think I strongly disagree with the idea that you need to have some kind of pro experience or pro mind to have good thoughts about the game. I think that's very limiting.
I mean, I think that's wouldn't say incredible good. I just say, like, thoughts that you can actually apply to the pro scene. All right, let's move on.
Alright, so yeah, but anyway, that ties into just a couple quick hero notes on Kuala Lumpur, mm-hmm. Which we can weave into the potential patch that's coming tomorrow. Yeah, so Tiny, who has been our hobby horse for months.
He's so bad, man.
Was the number two... they keep picking it, Arian, how can you say that? No. Tiny, the number two picked hero. He was picked 21 times in the final week of the tournament, and he won 3 of those games.
Oh my god.
Centaur Warrunner, on the other hand, was picked 21 times, and he lost 3 games. He has an 86% win rate.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Centaur's like, really good. Who even thought that? Like, I didn't even expect that until I opened up the thing this morning to look at the
I have stats. A theory about why teams keep picking Tiny. Because...
What is it?
I think it's basically a trap that people fall into, because Tiny's lane is obviously really strong, and there's like certain heroes that are really meta right now, like Brood or Morphling, that basically only a Tiny can lane. So if you get outdrafted and they pick Morphling, and you got outdrafted by a Morphling, you try to salvage it with a Tiny, but in 99% of cases, it still doesn't work when you lose. That's my theory, that Tiny is basically the Band-Aid, but it never works. Because you can't draft not to lose, you have to draft to win. That's my theory on why teams keep picking Tiny.
That's interesting. It is a great mystery, and as Dora the Destroyer pointed out, I should have had you ask a pro that.
It's very weird. It's so weird. Sorry,
Charlene, you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to say I like that idea, that we're pointing fingers at Tiny, but it's maybe not his pick, it's the conditions that he gets picked into that are tough. So,
and as always, Wisp was banned in 43 of the 45 games.
Wow. Did he get picked in the two games he didn't get banned? Did he win?
He got picked once, and then he went uncontested one game.
Wow.
The unbalanceable hero.
Do you know if they won the game that he was picked in?
No, I think he lost.
It's bad.
Yeah, right? Yeah, garbage hero. 0% win rate.
Yeah.
96% ban rate, but 0% win rate. So.
All right, on to more important tournaments, though.
Yes.
Yeah, way more important, actually. Infinitely more important.
Yeah.
I played in the We Like Dota League this week.
Wow. Yeah. You've, like, subbed. I think you subbed on 3 different teams. You've been on Soak? You've been on Jim's team?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kinda.
Three different teams.
Is that allowed in the rules?
Yes.
Yes, because it's not registered.
I don't have much to say about this. I played for Team TBD versus Nice and Successful. We didn't win, but it was nice to play with Mr. Blue. I haven't played with him in a long time. I played Axe, and it was really fun to play Axe, because Axe is great. And I hit a couple of dream calls.
Nice.
But shouts to Banjo for being really good at Dota and just wrecking us. Yeah. we had a fun time, but ultimately it was not a winning performance. How about, did anybody else play? I know Arian has a bye.
Yeah, we got a bye, but Jim played.
Yeah, we also did not have a winning performance.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we played our best of one elimination match.
Sorry, this was the game that I casted, isn't it?
Yes, you did a first person cast from Greg's perspective. I did a first
person cast from Hustler's point of view. No matter what I tried, I even ended up disconnecting from the game and trying to spectate friend live, clicked on Jim J. Bullock, and it was still Oscar.
That's the best moment in the entire thing. It's like, I want what this guy is seeing. It's like, no, Hustler for you only. Oh, that was a riot.
That was hilarious.
Jim, I mean, like, just for expositional purpose, I really wanted Jim to finally pull out the Kraken and put his Immortal player on mid instead of having him support. And I think, like, throughout the week where I messaged you to Final Dude, I think that's the closest I've ever come to harassing someone online. Like, it felt dark at some point because I, like, messaged you literally a million times to do it. But you...
It was just all the time. I just log into Discord. It's like, I see like Arian's icon and like hate written under it. Like, oh, I know what those messages are going to be. But I got to execute my dream draft. We'd been thinking about the draft for several weeks early on in the season. We were trying to figure out what would be the funniest, like the absolute cheesiest draft we could. And I'd hoped for second pick. Uh-huh. So in the first phase, I could just, like, machine gun pick Techie's Brood. Like, one right after the other.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out. So instead, we first picked Techies. And then they were like, what the hell's going on? So they waited a while. And then I picked Brood.
Wow.
And then I wanted to follow that up immediately with Huskar.
Oh, my God.
And then at that point, like, then they picked PL. And we're like, oh yeah, but at that point, like, we're all in. Like, if you open Techie's Brood Huskar, and you're going to pick Oracle or Dazzle next, it limits you somewhat in the draft. So we just picked Wraith King for prop. Poor prop. It's like, you're the carry on this team.
I'd love to be the carry on that team.
It was fun. I think Alex had 9 kills. At one point, the game was like 11-9, and Alex playing Oracle had 9 kills. Yeah. He was like beyond godlike at like 9 minutes.
Man, shout out to Alex for putting up through that. Like, just, it must be.
Yeah, he was beyond godlike at like 9 minutes, and then at 13 minutes, they were pushing our high ground. Oh. So, that was it. We lost. It was fun. I tell you, man, for all of you people trying to like win games and pick things, that draft room when we were going through that was as much fun as I've had playing Dota. The five of us just sitting in there laughing. And Alex obviously knows, you know, if we put him on Invoker or something, it would increase our win chance. But he's like, I definitely think. Yeah, you'll be able to pick Huskar. And then I think Oracle's probably better than Dazzle, but if you have to go Dazzle, that's good. I was like, all right, we're all in. And it was fun, but we lost. And I'll have a lot of fun watching the rest of the tournament because I think everyone's having a ton of fun in it.
Yeah, I'm having a ton of fun. I mean, to remain positive, this means you're going to cast the finals now, which is great.
I'm eligible to cast the font. So I did talk, and I guess we could talk about this a little bit. If everyone is available, whenever it gets scheduled, I think we're gonna have Sam and I cast one of the games, cast the finals. If it's at a time, and we're gonna do like the WLD cast, where, you know, it's like Sam and I, like, you know, we're not gonna be describing the action quite as accurately as.
We gonna be like Black and Bulldog?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I also invited Shelved Games, the podcaster / streamer who's been casting a bunch of the games. Nice. We're doing a great job. I invited him to do like a real cast of the grand finals for anyone interested in like a more professional podcasting experience, a more professional game casting experience. So if you want, you know, the WLD memes, you can come to see me and Sam on the WLD stream, and then Shell's Games will have a regular one. Obviously, anyone can cast whoever wants to, but if it works out for Shell's Games, he said he'd be willing to do it. So I think it'll be fun, the grand finals.
I'd love to cast the finals as well, man.
Well,
too bad we're going to be in it.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Probably not. Let's just act like we will.
I don't know. Let's find out.
Yeah, let's find out.
It'll be fun finding out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we'll find out. Okay. Should we move on to Noobs Ask Noobs?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Sure.
Okay. Well, Kruger asks, in a losing scenario, what is your favorite tactic to employ to win your team back and make them try to pull together?
Oh.
I actually have a clear answer for this.
Shoot.
My tactic is, generally, we will lose a team fight, we'll all be dead, and we'll be behind, and I'll be like, I'll just get on the mic, and I make the same joke every time. I go, we got them right where we want them, boys. And then, I say, we turtle. We'll just turtle, guys. We're fine. We turtle. And then we turtle, and we win the game. It's happened many times.
Nice.
I'm not going to lie.
Nice.
But yeah. How anybody else have any tactics when you have to rally the troops?
I think I just like, I start using might and I start being bossy and giving everybody, like telling them what to do really confidently, even though I don't know what we should do to win. Usually works.
Okay. Bold strategy.
Like, yeah, just fake it till you make it, act like you know what to do. And if you act like you know what to do, then it's better than what pub teams usually do. It's walk around and not doing anything. It's better to make like probably the wrong choice because I'm making the choice. So it's better to probably make the wrong choice instead of making no choice. It's better to make the wrong choice together.
Hmm. Together. Fair enough. Jim or Charlene, anybody have thoughts?
I just try to tell a joke like you do. So, we can just go to Charlene.
Yeah. I think it depends on the team. If it's like try-hardy people who are grumpy that they're on the back foot, then sometimes a joke might not go over so well. They'll be like, "Oh, you're just joking. You don't even care."
Yeah.
So and then... that's when you go, "That's right."
But I'm gonna say an unfair answer. I think I actually will resort to being a girl, and I think generally the population is more likely to be nicer to me. And if I'm like, "Hey guys, like, it's okay. Let's not get tilted. Whatever, we can do this. X is the strongest person on the enemy side. Like, let's try to do something," they're more likely to listen. Or, you know, if they're more laid back and I tell a joke, again, it's more likely to placate them. All but right. Yeah, unfortunately, I think I'll fall back on being grill.
I think I'll practice.
That's a good strategy.
I'll practice my high pitched voice for next game. So it's a losing team. And that's,
"Guys, can we start like doing stuff together?"
So it will work out great.
It's very convincing.
Thanks.
All right, very good. All right. Polar Bear, new Patreon. Hey-o.
Ding, ding, ding.
what situation is it not a terrible idea to consider having a dedicated jungler?
First of all, welcome to the exclusive circle of patrons of the welcome. We Like Dota podcast. And I think right now there is no situation where you like actually like to have a jungler. I think jungling is beyond bad right now, just because of how denies work. And I've gone over this many a time, so I won't do it again.
Yeah, question is, what situation is it not a terrible idea? So I think the situation is if you guys are doing really, really poorly and you can't go into lane.
Yeah.
Then you have to delegate the support who was in that lane to try and help out the side lane or mid, and then have that core that was in the losing lane then go to jungle and like get what they can. But
yeah,
the situation would be if you just can't go back to the lane, you don't want to go into the other lanes and, you know, steal their farm or whatever.
Patch is literally less than 24 hours from now, so I'm sure that maybe
they'll bring back Iron Talon.
Maybe they'll bring back Iron Talon, or he changes the knife so jungling is viable again, or some other stuff. We don't know. We can't get into Ice Frog's mind.
Yeah, I think it's kind of generally terrible to have a dedicated jungler nowadays.
I mean,
just because everyone picks like really good lanes.
Jungling used to be super meta a while ago.
Oh yeah. With Iron Talon and all that.
Yeah.
It was super easy. I feel like now you just kind of don't do it.
Yep. Don't do it.
All right. We're going very long, so we're going to rapid fire these, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. So, Dora the Destroyer wants to know, which hero do you feel needs an overhaul? Which hero model?
Slaughter. Oh, wait. He actually got one.
Morphling. He just got one. He's all buff.
Morphling. Morphling.
Morphling.
He looks like
good. Morphling is a good one.
Alright. Anybody else have one?
I can't think of one off the top of my head. Wait, is Jorah who asked this?
I think Venomancer.
He already got one.
Venomancer?
Yeah.
No.
Actually, Chaos Knight.
Dora, I'll do you solid. I think Darkseer benefit from one.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Darkseer could also benefit from literally any attention at all.
Yes, someday. Tony Boy wants to know, when you disagree with your team's decision to take a fight, when do you go in with them and when do you abandon them?
If you think you can make the fight better than super terrible, go in. Because like if four of your teammates go in, it's better because they're all gonna die if you don't help them, I'm gonna assume. So it's better to like at least get two heroes and die as five so they like maybe can't push high ground than to just like completely abandon your team.
Yeah, I think it's usually better to stay with your team if the call is to take a fight, just like, even if you don't think it's the right idea, just do it, because if you bail, it's very bad for morale.
Yep.
And it might work, who knows? Kruger wants to know, what's the most recent hero you've learned from scratch, and how was that?
Pango!
Pango!
Beep, beep!
Beep, beep! The trouble with it is this way.
Oh, the terrible French accent is too good. Quite literally, like, loaded into game in base, like, I tried out Swashbuckle to figure out how to do the right movement, and I was like, oh, okay, all right, I can do this. And then the first time I died, I then read through the skills.
You're fine. It's fine.
That's how I did Pango. What about you guys?
For me, I think it was Nyx Assassin when I went on that streak. This was kind of a while ago of like playing consecutive Nyx matches. It was fun. It was hard, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Jim or Aaron, anything
I think
to add?
For me, it's Morphling. I played a lot of Morphling recently, and I think I've become quite good at it. I like switching between basically two heroes.
Yes.
You know me, I like flashy heroes that look like they require skill, even though they're kind of easy to play, like Storm Spirit.
Yes,
that's what I'm all about, looking like I have skill plays, but not actually having it.
Diza wants to know, how much starting regen is enough starting regen?
I think that really depends on the situation.
Yeah,
I think it's probably a good idea to just fill your thing with regen. Like, that's one of the things I've kind of noticed, like, watching.
Six healing pots?
Kind of, like, watching...
Five mangoes?
Yeah, nothing wrong with five mangoes. But
watching, like, gaming.
Yeah. Pro matches and, like, playing with Alex, like, you just, like... And there's some video I watched recently about, like, how Sumail plays mid.
Yeah.
And, like, he doesn't play mid, he plays the other player. And, like, it's all about out-regenning your opponent. And ever since I started buying more regen, I think I've been doing better. And, like, it really is... Like, if you get that purple... If you're playing Doom and you get that purple Satyr at the beginning, like, you just win. That's it. Like, you won your lane because you now have 10 HP regen per second. And, like, so I suspect that, this is my hot take, you could probably not have too much starting regen, unless you're playing, like, Bloodseeker or someone with, like, a natural regen. You can literally just fill up your thing with regen, and I think you'll, like, have a better outcome. Because it's one of those things, like, oh, I ran out of tangos, or oh, I ran out of this. It happens, like, later, and you kind of don't think about it. Mm-hmm. And it has, like, a subtle effect on you. But if you're just constantly regenerating, you're constantly full, and you're always there getting last hits and XP, I bet it has, like, a much larger impact than you think.
Yeah. Regen is so good. Like,
yeah.
My own, like, special anti-mage build is just because regen is so good. Charlene, do you remember our Battle Cup game from last week? I go double Ring of Health. I build one into Battle 3, the other one into Vanguard later. It's actually lane winning. Because... Regen is so good. Once you have two Ring of Health, you actually just win your lane. Like, Charlene could just leave the lane and never come back, and I'll be fine against two heroes. Because if you have high armor and, like, a decent amount of regen, you can't. Like, even if you're an anti-mage like I was, you can't lose your lane, basically.
Alright, last question from Tulak Ard. What is the best way to tactfully tell your carry to do their job? I had a conversation on Twitter back when I was tweeting with a coach from Vega Squadron. I'm not sure which
team she's involved with. Right?
Kips.
Yeah. And her advice was that you have to, like, build rapport with your teammates in the beginning. So be active on the mic. Don't use a bad tone. And then once the game gets harder or, like, quick calls need to be made, your teammates will be more likely to follow your instructions. In terms of talking to your carry to tell them to do their job, I think using words like, next time, maybe try to X or whatever, is maybe the way to go about it. I don't know. It's a lot about tone and just trying not to be a jerk about it. Nobody's trying to lose.
Yep. Most of the time.
Most of it.
Sometimes people are trying to lose.
Yeah. Sadly. I think like, you just try to identify a situation that you're, where your carry should be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, like, oh, hey, PL, go bot and farm. I'll come and make sure you're safe. Or, like, look at all that farm over there. You could clear that out and you're going to get your next item and we're going to kill
them. Yeah, I think, like, if your carry's not doing his job, he's probably just one of those carries that just cares about farm and never fights. And I think you have to make clear to him, because his, like, some carries, it may not be the ultimate goal, but their, like, intermediate goal is not to win the game or do what's best for the game, but to get the strongest. And you have to make clear to your carry that fighting is what will give him the most golden experience, because it'll also give him space to farm later. So just say, hey, you're going to get a lot of items if we win that team fight and stuff like that. I think, like, align your goals with his goals, even though it should be the same, but it sadly isn't sometimes.
There you have it, folks. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for sticking out this long episode.
Yeah.
It's been a long episode.
It's been a long episode.
You enjoy this content. This is what happens when you have four people. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. All right, well, next time we'll talk about some other stuff, and the game of Dota will have fundamentally shifted under our feet. So,
yep.
Looking forward to it, everyone.
Hey, guys, wait.
Oh.
Patch notes.
Are you serious?
What?
No way.
No, no, there's no passion.
Oh my god. Jim, get out. Get out.
I hate you so much, actually. Oh my god.
Goodbye. Oh, I'm sucking
goodbye.
See ya.